Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
I don't know if I told you this or not. I tried doing one of them Facebook ads to advertise the podcast. Try to bring in new listeners, right? You pay Facebook and you bring in new listeners.
And how many new listeners did that pull in?
I spent $8.16. The ad reached 344 people, and we gained 11 Facebook likes. Now, let me tell you what happened this week. Footer of the Red Show told Michael Ian Black that he didn't think he was funny. And so Michael Ian Black proceeded to go on a three-hour debate with Footer of the Red Show in front of his 1.96 million followers. Now, let's do the math here, Travis. I've written down some stats here. Let's be very, very modest. Let's say 5% of Michael Ian Black's 1.96 million Twitter followers saw some of the tweets where he was tweeting links to Footer's SoundCloud page, Footer's internet radio show page. Let's say 5% saw that. That is 98,000 people. I'm noble, guys. I really am. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to do what Footer does, but it works, and I keep seeing it work. Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, the esteemed Mr. Travis Hulse. Hi, Travis.
Oh, sorry. I was just leaving some eBay feedback. Sorry. Hello, everybody.
And Matt's here as well. Hello, Matt.
Hey, buddy.
The phone number to contact the show is, of course, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, we have one hell of a program scheduled for you tonight. Coming up after the break,
all for me.
We are going to be talking to comedian actor Michael Ian Black is going to be on the program. So,
star of Wet Hot American Summer.
Travis, I came to talk to my brothers and sisters this week about macadamia nuts. That's my primary focus for this evening.
Positive or negative manner?
Well, Trevor, see here, I don't know. Have you ever in your life had a macadamia nut that wasn't in a cookie?
Yes.
No.
I've only had a... So you did you seek out like a tin of macadamia nuts, Travis?
No. They come in little, like, squatty jars. I've never purchased them, but I've been to places where people have had a little squatty jar of macadamia nuts out and have taken the liberty to pop a few
Matt,
in the mouth.
In your entire lifetime, have you ever heard the phrase squatty jar? And can you explain to me what it is?
I don't know what that is.
It must be a regional reference, Matt, is what a squatty jar is.
It's not at all. It's not standing straight up. It's like a squatty jar. It's, you know, shorter, like a half jar.
So like a bowl?
No, like a half jar. It's not getting wider as it goes closer to the ground. It's just shorter.
So I posted on the social medias, Travis, the other day. I posted my stance on nuts, and that is that pistachios are the best nut.
And I stand by it. Almonds are good. Almonds are probably a close second.
I'd probably disagree with you, but continue.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm not going to be as polite as Travis just was. I'm going to say almond better than the pistachio because of the variety in which you can get that almond.
What do you mean? Like you can get it flavored?
Yeah, I can get plain raw almond. I can get the salted almond, half salt if I want.
Candied.
I can get salt vinegar almonds. Yeah, I can get candied almonds. I can get chocolate almonds. I can get any type of almond at all. And pistachios, I get shelled or in the shell.
So, I mean, Matt, there's a variety of red almonds because they're common. They're common nuts, and people make a lot of varieties of them because there's a lot of them, I guess. Okay. So yeah, pistachio. That's what I'm getting at here is I posted this on the social media.
Cashews are great.
Cashews are. I mean, they're fine. All the nuts are more or less fine, Travis. So I posted this on the social media, and Nick Borg
Brazil nuts.
I think Nick Borg.
Oh, God.
He replies to me and he says,
garbage.
Mike, macadamia nuts are the best nut. And I thought about it and I said, you know, I can't speak to this like from an educated standpoint because I don't know if I've ever had a macadamia. Now, macadamia nut in a cookie is wholly unnecessary. Like if you have a white chocolate chip cookie, that's fine. It doesn't even need macadamia nuts. People just put nuts and stuff to be fancy. Like when people put raisins and stuff, you don't need to put raisins in it.
No. I will say that there is a couple of nuts that actually do make a difference. Walnuts make a difference in texture, and also pecans. Pecans also make a difference in texture and flavor and whatever they're in.
Oh, God, Trevor's like a pecan pie. Let me tell you. Pecan pie.
A pecan sandy.
Fucking pecan pie. That's good eating there. Have you a nice, like, warm slice of it?
Mm-hmm.
But try to
throw a dab of French vanilla ice cream on top.
So I've been thinking about this for a while, this macadamia nut problem that I'm having, because, maybe they're great. Maybe he's right, and I've never tried to enjoy it. And so I go to
macadamia.
I go to the grocery store. I go down the nut aisle, Travis. They have like one supplier of macadamia nut in a jar. $8 for some goddamn macadamia. So the question then became, would it be worse to spend the $8 on these macadamia nuts and be disappointed that they're not as good as I thought? But like, what if I really, really like them? And then my nut taste, it craves these expensive nuts.
Mm-hmm. That's, I ran into that problem with and they've come down in price since. These giant, jalapeno stuffed green olives, I had them, they're like $8 a jar at the time. And I remember getting them specifically for like fancy Bloody Marys and eating
God
one. And
damn like, olives, Travis?
$8 for jalapeno stuff. They're huge. They're like fancy fucking huge green olives stuffed with jalapenos. And they were so amazing that it bummed me out that I couldn't constantly afford an $8 jar of green olives. So I am with you there.
Want to go back to college so you can...
Yeah, no shit.
Get the olives you like. You need a higher paying job, Travis. We need more Patreon sponsors to afford our olive habit.
That's the thing.
What I did, Travis, I just bought some almonds and I chalked it up to, I don't need to try these.
Yeah.
They're fine.
I don't think you'd like them. I don't think you'd like them. If you are an almond guy, I don't think that the macadamia nut would even... I don't think it would convert you to a macadamia guy, though.
So, Travis, I've been having problems with my automobile putting gas in it. Like, I go to put gas in my automobile, and the gas just... It doesn't go in. Like, I'll squirt like a quarter of a quarter of a gallon in, and then it stops. And it's like, okay, you're done. I was like, no, I'm still empty. You put more gas in it. And it's like, okay, you're done. And it's not working. And so I took it to the dealership a while back, and I was like, dude, there's something fucked up with my car. And they took it back for a while, and they came to me in the waiting room, and they said, hey, man, we went down to the gas station and tried to do it, and it worked. I was like, okay, but it doesn't work for me a lot of times, and fix it. And they said, yeah, but, I mean, if we can't see it going wrong, then how do we know something's wrong? I'm like, because I fucking told you. So time went by, and the problem seemed to be happening more and more, so I took it back to the dealership, and the guy said, oh, well, it's not under warranty now. I was like, well, fuck you. I was here when it was under warranty, and you told me to go away. And they said, yeah, you're right. So we'll call them up and see if they'll take care of this for you. So they said that they're going to put a new gas tank in my car. And they told me that I could wait there for 3 hours while they put a new gas tank in it. And by then, we already had a time with Michael Ian Black. And I was like, you know, I don't want to cancel with Michael Ian Black. The man is busy. We already have a time scheduled. That, and I don't want to sit this dealership for 3 hours. I'd rather just come home. So I told him, hey, give me a lender car. And they said, oh, yeah, that's under your warranty. And I was like, well, why didn't you tell me that to begin with, right? That I could take my lender car and drive around. So I drive my lender car home, and I talk to Michael Ian Black. Spoiler alert, the interview's already happened. It was fine. So I'm sitting here, and they told me it would be 3 hours. 5 hours later, the guy calls me, and he says, hey, man, we took off the gas tank, and there's a fuel pump in the gas tank, and we want to replace that too. So we're going to have your car for 3 days. I've been driving around for 2 days with this rental car. It has like 150 miles on it. It's a brand new car.
They give you a brand new car for a rental?
It's a brand new car, Travis. And it's not nice. I mean, it's
brand new.
It is brand new, but I mean, like, I'd rather drive my car because my car has more bells and whistles in it. This car is pretty bare bones, Travis, but it is a 2020. It has a third row of seats. Like, you know, if I want to have a family in the next day or two.
If you want to pick up the kids at soccer practice.
Yeah. Yeah. If I decide to go pick up some kids, I could probably become, you know, I think the dealership is paying for it. Maybe I could become an Uber driver just for the next day.
Oh, there you go.
I could do Uber X. Isn't that when you pick up more people?
Yeah. I think it's, Uber X is the larger vehicles.
God damn thing up with people and drive it around. But yeah,
you'd come out of the other side of this in the green.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, really. You have problems. And that's what drunk should be doing when drunk takes his lemon in for services.
That fucking Nissan.
Yeah, fucking piece of shit Nissan he's junk. Driving around. Yeah, Travis. You know, speaking of drunk, he told us, I think last week or the week before. I mean, at this point, who fucking knows?
I can't recall.
He was talking about how the Carol Baskin gal, she's on the Dancing with the Stars.
And, that's true.
And we were joking, Travis. We were having a good laugh about, you know, how do you really contend with the fact that she may or may not have murdered somebody? And, like, you know, just do like a fun dance show with that. And did you happen to hear the news that the family of her ex-husband bought ad space on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, I did hear this.
Yes, that's an amazing move by that family. And it was funny because when I had seen this, it was like, that's great. And it took Baskin days to comment on that. And obviously people were pressing her about it.
Did she comment on it?
Yeah, she finally said that's great. I'm hoping that my appearance on this show can help to bring fresh eyes to this unsolved case and maybe help find him or figure out what happened to him.
Great move.
Great move.
Good move, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to say? Right. Fuck those people. What are they doing?
Somebody had to write that for her, right? Like, she's got to have a publicist or something at this point.
Oh, so. I think she definitely has a publicist. I would say that her business is big enough that she's employing
selling
somebody
$250 cameos, Matt. It's that's a big cash, and people are probably paying it too. People are probably paying a lot for that.
Well, yeah, we know of one podcast that's paying for it for her to say that she enjoys it. I'm sure there's plenty of other podcasts we're not aware of that also do that.
Like the big Nick and the boys, they have a really good podcast. Big Nick and the boys. Hey, cats and kittens. I pulled the commercial, Travis. Do you want to hear it?
Of course.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
$100,000 reward has been funded.
That's really, really smart to phrase it like that.
I'm Larry, one of Don's third gardeners.
Travis, I'll tell you, as a guy who produces audio semi-regularly, that was a fucking train wreck where you could have ran a gate through some of the background noise and all those different interviews, and the music bed was chopped to shit. I mean, from a production standpoint, that commercial was a goddamn mess.
I would imagine they probably scrambled pretty quickly. It was probably hours before the debut of Carol Baskin on Dancing with the Stars that they were like, you know what we should do? And then they all like light bulb at the same time. They probably scrambled to put something together.
Yeah, I guess the message is there, which is, hey, this gal who's about to do the cha-cha, we're pretty sure she killed our dad.
Yeah. Do you have any information? I do like that they specifically name-checked her in the commercial.
Right, but they didn't say
that fucking show is as popular as it is.
What, like, Dancing with the Stars?
I don't get it at all.
I don't either, especially still. Like, they've run out of, like, the Bob Sagets of the world, and they're really diving deep into the trenches of D-list celebrities.
The Masked Singer got there quick, too, because we kind of bailed on it a little bit near the end of last season. We didn't really know what happened, and we watched like a recap where they just kind of took everybody's heads off and showed who they were. And like most of the people who were left, we had no idea. We had to like Google who they were. And it was like, oh my God, we have so many people. We got to do like three different batches. I think it was like 30 fucking people on that last season that they whittled down to one winner, and it just went on forever. And I mean, like, they must not have said no to anybody, Travis.
Well, no. Do you figure, like, especially, Masked Singer is fairly new, but they were churning them out like way too quickly. But do you ever figure, like, at some point, Dancing with the Stars has to put stars in quotes just to be factual with their audience?
Maybe they just need to, like, combine them. Like, have
Dancing with the Masked Singer.
Yeah, they dance, but they're also in goofy costumes. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like, you find out that she was the winner, but like you didn't know that you were voting for her week after week.
Oh, like, that would be a beautiful kick in the teeth for a lot of people.
Right. And like, you know, you were really rooting for the milk cow because, like, you know, she grew as a dancer so much. And then the finale comes and they're like, we want milk cow. And then like she takes off her mask and it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And you're like, oh no, what have we done?
You think that would implode social media?
Yes, I do.
And then we should definitely do this. I feel like we've gotten to the end. I feel like we've traveled the road. It's gone to wherever it was going to end up, and there's no heading back to the good times. So yeah, just turn it off.
Just go back to sending letters. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely. Pony Express time.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Michael Ian Black when we come back. I think Drunk will be here. And we'll
star of MTV's The State.
He was on The State, Travis. He was on, you remember Michael and Michael Have Issues?
Oh, yep.
I don't remember show. That.
Was he in, what was the, was there a UCB show on Comedy Central? I believe he was on that, Upright Citizens Brigade.
That sounds like it could be right, Travis. It sounds like something he'd do. He also had a podcast where he reviewed snacks. I like that one. He's like, hey, Twix bars are good.
I just know him from the, like, that's so 80s shows or whatever they were called.
Oh, I love the 90s and whatnot.
Yeah.
Best week ever. The Talking Head shows.
Good guy, that Michael Ian Black, Travis.
Solid, solid fellow.
WFOG. I just heard the news today. Seems my life is gonna change.
And in my head right now, you guys, I'm shirtless. And I'm not allowed to sing any more of the song because you have to pay a lot of money for that. But I'll sing, I'll sort of do the essence of the chorus for you. You know, it goes,
oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then it was nothing to me but bright.
Mr. Hardy, I'm a huge fan, but so often you're hard to understand. Legend, Lawless, Revenant, didn't understand any of it. Could you please use your real voice? Please use your real voice. We know it's an artistic choice. Yes, you clearly have range, but we couldn't understand you as Bane. So please, just use your real voice. It's an artistic choice. Yes, you clearly have range, but we couldn't understand you as Bane. So please use your real voice. Please just use your real voice.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Right.
guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, comedian, and author whose latest book is called A Better Man, A Mostly Serious Letter to My Son. The great Michael Ian Black is here. Thanks for doing this, Mike.
My pleasure.
I've been reading the book, and I'm probably about halfway through it, and something just happened that kind of threw me off, because you casually mentioned that you were a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle on the Coming Out of Our Shells tour. That was your first show business job?
I guess it was.
And that kind of threw me off, because I started looking up, like, do you remember which Ninja Turtle you were?
I was Raphael most of the time.
Oh, so you switched off sometimes? You were...
I wasn't in the actual show. My friend and I were doing promotional stuff as the Turtles traveling ahead of the show.
Oh.
So, we had one costume and two heads. And then sometimes I'd be Raphael and sometimes I'd be Michelangelo.
And so would you, like, go to a bunch of Pizza Huts and stuff? Is that what you were doing?
That's exactly right.
It was a Pizza Hut
thing. Pizza Huts and, yeah, there was a Pizza Hut tie-in. So we would, we'd go to Pizza Huts, radio stations and local TV stations and stuff like that.
You would go to radio stations and do interviews in character?
Yeah, it was the worst thing in the world, because you'd have to get up early in the morning and put on a turtle costume to go to a radio station where obviously the only people who could see you were the people sitting in the booth. It was horrible.
And so you weren't on the cassette tape, you weren't on the VHS, you were like a promotion.
No.
I was like 8 when that came out, and I had a Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet. Those were the two cassette tapes that I had, and they were my world then. So when I found out that you were involved, I was really excited to talk to you about it. So the book is called A Better Man, A Mostly Serious Letter to My Son, and going into it, I thought that it was like a how to be a dad self-help book. I don't know if I'm a foolish man, or if it's being marketed weird, but it's not really that. It's kind of
no, it's not that at all. I'm definitely not out there trying to sell it as a parenting guide. Far from it. If anything, but a parenting guide.
Are you getting that a lot? Are people saying that that's what they thought it was? Or
no, not really. I think, you know, people. I actually think they've been doing a good job of kind of saying what it is, which is part memoir and, well, mostly memoir, I guess, and part kind of reflections just on the broader scope of where we are culturally regarding men.
Yeah, it's kind of a deep dive on like what exactly being a man is.
And it's not always easy to know the answer to that question. You know, it's kind of a weird cultural question, and a lot of guys can't really answer it.
Yeah, and it asks a lot of like questions that I hadn't really thought of before, and I thought that it was more a human thing, but I don't think they are very different. What people expect you to be.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's a fairly male-centric way to think of your experiences as being human first and foremost, as opposed to male, if only because women aren't given that luxury. You know what I mean? Women have to think about their own gender and relationship to a lot of things because it's a male-dominated culture.
Yeah.
And continues to be, even though women have made enormous progress. So, you know, women are forced to think of themselves, obviously, as humans, but also as women. Their womanhood has to be pretty high on how they think of the world.
What I've learned kind of from listening to other interviews you've done and the book and stuff is that you seem to be very self-critical. So, I mean, like when you finish a book, because that's a problem that I have with a lot of any kind of creative endeavors that I take, is that I have a hard time like moving on and even like saying, okay, this is finished. I feel like I always want to go back and tinker, even like halfway through, I want to go back and change things. And is it hard for you to like say, okay, this book is done?
It's hard when I am in the process of writing, then it's really hard. Fortunately, deadlines sort of make it impossible to keep going forever. But you know, I don't think you ever feel like it's done. But once I sort of put a bow on it and send it off, I have a fairly easy time letting it go, because I can't really control it at that point. And I don't feel like a huge itch to get back in and scratch at it. There'll be other opportunities, like, you know, when there's a paperback edition, you know, I may add on to it somewhat. But right now, I'm totally content to not go back into it and try to rewrite anything. It doesn't mean I'm entirely happy with it. Of course, I'm not. But I don't feel like this burning desire to, like, fix it.
So is that the key, is to just not watch it again or not read it again and find the problems with it?
Yeah, not looking at it again is really helpful.
Send it off and delete it.
When you're doing like a bookstore, you sort of have to revisit it again and again, which is fine. Like, I'm happy to talk about it. And I'm actually interested to hear where people feel like I didn't go far enough, or I overstepped, or I got something wrong. Like, that's all really interesting and constructive to me. And it doesn't make me feel like I failed. It just, you know, I'm interested in well thought out criticism.
Early on in the book, you mentioned that it wasn't love at first sight for you when you had kids, and I mean, did you just kind of look at having kids as the logical next step of your life, like getting a driver's license when you're 16 or something like that, or did you want to be a dad?
Yeah, I mean, it was intellectual. That's the thing. It's like, you can go, well, I mean, I'd like to have kids at some point, but it's intellectual for me. It wasn't this deep paternal yearning that I had. But my wife and I had gotten married, and we had talked about having kids, and we thought we would. And I guess I just expected that when my kids arrived, I have a son and a daughter, that it would be this overwhelming love at first sight thing with them. And it really wasn't. I mean, I wanted it to be, but it just wasn't. But it didn't scare me. It didn't scare me that wasn't happening right away, because I sort of trusted my own biology enough to know that parents love their kids and they fall in love with their kids and they end up adoring their kids. And that happened for me, but it wasn't, it definitely didn't happen right away. And getting with both of my kids was so hard because they were both colicky. So they just like cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And, you know, neither my wife nor I were getting any sleep, which is typical for parents, but the like crying, the constant crying, I did not expect. And it was just torturous. And, you know, it's hard to love something that's torturing you.
And do you just worry all the time? Is it just like a constant worry that like washes
you? Mean
over
as a dad right now?
All the time, I guess, early on. And even now that your kid is like gone off to college, like, do you just think all the time, oh man, I hope nothing happens?
I don't understand it really because I have a dog.
I don't know what it's like. So,
I think a lot of parents do.
Yeah, we take the dog to the vet like every couple of months. And I think that I would probably be overbearing and awful.
I'm sure you would figure it out. You know, it takes a little while to figure it out. And of course you worry about your kids. Of course, there's always that little knot of anxiety and worry that they're okay. But like, I guess I sort of feel like, I guess I kind of play the odds a little bit, you know. I'm sort of like, you know, probably nothing's going to happen. Probably he's going to be fine or she's going to be fine. They're going to figure things out. They're bright kids. They're going to be okay. And that's kind of the approach I take to it on a day-to-day basis. The scariest thing was certainly like them getting their driver's licenses. That's for me been the scariest moment just as a parent. But, you know, you gradually kind of relax once they get on the road and, you know, they haven't totaled their car within the first couple of weeks. You're sort of like, all right. It's going to be all right.
Michael, do you point out lefties when you notice them? As a fellow left-handed person, like when you're watching TV and you notice that somebody's left-handed, you say, oh, look, that person's left-handed. Or is that a
weird... No. Are you a lefty?
I am, yeah. And I noticed that you were too. And I think annoyingly to my wife, like when I noticed that somebody's left... Like, you know, when I noticed that Obama was signing things left-handed, I was like, oh, look, Obama's left-handed.
It's one of those things that I almost never notice. That and eye color. Like, I never really notice when somebody's right-handed or left-handed, and I never notice their eye color. I don't know why. It's just a lack of good observation on my part, which is, you know, not good if you're a writer.
Do you do the like the crook with your hand where you're almost like writing from the top, or do you just go straight through?
No, I'm kind of a palm smudger.
Yeah, I am too. I smudge all the sleeves of my long sleeve shirts and all that.
Yep. No, when I see Obama like reaching around like that, that looks profoundly uncomfortable.
It looks really bad, doesn't it? Like you'd get a carpal tunnel or something. But yeah. He's an over the top guy.
It does not look comfortable.
So
yeah, he's an over the top, around the way kind of signature maker.
This is a weird thing, and I'm going to acknowledge that it's a weird thing from the start, but people that have been listening to our show for a long time would be very critical of me if I didn't bring this up to you, but several years ago, and I doubt you'll remember this, but you might, because it was on the 4th of July. There was a guy that we were like a acquaintance with through podcasting who sent some critical tweets to you that you responded to, and you spent like a full few hours, like you went to listen to his podcast and critiqued it. And like, I think he was a musician, and you found like his music and you critiqued his music, and you replied to him for hours on the 4th of July. I think it was 2015. Do you remember this at all? You probably don't.
Vaguely.
I do
kind of.
Okay.
I think he said something shitty to me, and so...
Oh, no, he said something awful to you, and you had every right to be mad at him. But it was funny, because we talked about it for a while, how silly it was that... I mean, like, and as a bit, I sent every other person who was on the state very complimentary tweets and asked them to critique my podcast, and all of them didn't respond to me. And I was curious...
Right.
If like, do you still like reward bad behavior? Because I mean, like, the guy said something shitty to you, and then you just promoted him for a couple of hours, and I was so curious, like, what that is about us that like we reward bad behavior. And I mean, like the guy was even saying, "Oh man, like we've gotten so many streams and downloads of both my music and my podcast." Because Michael Ian Black has been promoted. And I mean, you weren't saying nice things. I think you said he sounded like Creed. But yeah, like in the end, like, you know, it seems like we get the best responses from being bad.
I mean, I guess my feeling is if you want to be a dick and like you're good with that, and any reinforcement is positive reinforcement, then yeah, go for it. But you have to understand that there's people on the other end.
Yeah.
Who you're. And if you're good with like hurting people, then yeah, that's up to you.
But then those people are in a way rewarded. I mean, like nothing negative happened to him except, like you said, he sounded like Creed. But I mean, if thousands of people check out his music, maybe five like it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, great. I hope he got whatever he wanted out of that exchange. If what he wanted was to like hurt my feelings, which I assume is what happened, and enjoyed that back and forth, then great. Good for him. I mean, I definitely think there is an argument to be made that you just ignore the trolls. And I do for the most part, and I've gotten better at it.
Yeah.
But I also think people should understand, like, when you say terrible things to somebody, you're saying terrible things to somebody. It's no different than saying it to their face.
Would it be incredibly boring if you just replied to people, thanks, when they say they like something that you made?
Well, I do. I do. I go out of my way, especially in the last, I don't know, however long, to reply, not to everybody, but to a lot of people, I do say thank you. And I say, that means a lot. Thank you. Because I do think it's important to respond to positive stuff as well as negative stuff. It's just that the negative stuff creates conflict, and, you know, that's better for people reading the timeline. It's more entertaining for them.
Sure, yeah. So the book is called Better Man, A Mostly Serious Letter to My Son. I'm about halfway through it. I'm going to finish it because I am enjoying it quite a bit. It's available in bookstores now. What would be the best place to send people to get it?
Well, I suppose if you want to support shops, which I would encourage people to do, bookshop.org is a coalition of independent bookstores, and you can just order from them. And I think the way they do it is they'll have a local bookstore fulfill your delivery wherever, you know, whatever's local to you.
Oh man, how do you get involved in that? How do you get put on the list?
I don't know. I just found out about it.
You said bookshop.org?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's probably in all the regular places.
It's like an indie bookstore response to Amazon. You know, it's a coalition of independent bookstores working together so that, you know, they can operate as a block.
It's actually kind of a fun idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah. And at Michael Ian Black on social media. And Michael, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Good luck with the book, and we should do it again sometime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Out of ourselves, out of ourselves, we're coming. Out of ourselves.
Travis, we're getting really close to the spooky month, you know. Spooky month is
so close.
When there's music
really close.
Inside of you,
and Travis, what are we doing this year?
It's got to come
well,
through.
Something's been happening the last couple of weeks. People, they've been coming to me and they've been asking.
Yeah.
Is Travis going to do it?
Like the scary places, and then last year was what? The scary.
Last year was nothing drunk.
Oh.
That's why everybody's starting to panic
what was the
a
year
bit.
Before.
Wondering.
He transitioned from scary places to.
We went to the Orient. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
I believe the last one was Haunted People.
Haunted People. That's right.
Oh, when it was in your mind.
Because you had like Rasputin and shit, too, right?
It's like possession.
Travis, people are really concerned. Can you ease their minds? Are you going to do it?
I will do no such thing. I will not ease any minds.
Travis!
You have to tune in to see whether or not we take a trip into dark, haunted places.
Guys, Michael Ian Black, nice guy. Do you think
Seems like a really nice guy.
Matt, do you think he liked me?
Yes.
I think he liked you up until you brought up that traumatic 4th of July.
You think that ruined it?
I think that he was like...
How could I not bring it up, Matt? It was a big thing. We had a whole show about it,
Mike, years ago. I'm not insulting you or saying it was bad that you did, but I think that a little bit, you could hear it in his voice. He was like... He was a little passive aggressive about it.
He was.
I feel though, if he got what he wanted out of it, fine.
But I feel though, like it did create a conversation. Like, and he was able to say, if that's what they wanted, fine. You know, I don't feel he could have just shut it down, and he didn't. I guess is my point.
Well, he did kind of shut it down. I wanted to get to a bigger thing, Travis, about how it's you know, I mean, like what his book's about. It's about you know, being better people. But how can we be better people if the only thing that gets results is being an absolute prick all the time? Nice guys finish last, Travis. Know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That is a tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time.
Drunk, what would you say is your favorite nut? Guys, Drunkard STL on the Twitter.
Probably the walnut.
You like a walnut?
Really?
Do you buy them shelled and like crack them?
No, usually. But I like the whole ones, not the chopped ones.
Why?
I like walnuts in something. I don't know that I would just sit there and eat plain walnuts.
Walnuts, they're a dry nut, Matt.
Like, very dry.
Like they have like a powder on them or something that like you bite into a walnut, and you're going to need a glass of water is what you're going to need.
Definitely going to need something to quench the thirst.
I guess I was. That's the wrong answer. Is it?
No. There's no wrong answers, drunk. No wrong answers, buddy.
I mean, walnut's the wrong answer, though, man.
Yeah, well,
I was about to say. Yeah. I know Mike's looking for something here. What kind of nut should I have said?
Drunk? Did
the Brazil nut?
Did you think that Michael Ian Black liked me?
Of course, I did.
Very self.
I think he wants to come back on next week.
Very self-conscious about it.
I think he wants to start a podcast with you.
You think?
Definitely.
Guys, worth mentioning, I guess. I guested on the shitty song of the week. I did it like a month and a half ago.
But hey.
They released
first and foremost,
week,
so. You're not a bird.
You're on a different show?
I was, yeah.
He committed podultry.
A rare Mike guest appearance, so... if you're in the mood to listen to more of me talking, I was on that show. They were nice guys.
What was the song?
Do you remember Chris Cornell's Scream album?
No.
I pretty much just wanted to talk about that whole album, but I did narrow it down to one song off the album, which is, I mean, it's in a 12-way tie as the worst song on the album.
Sure.
The whole album's dog shit.
Did that even get, like, airtime, or...?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but yeah. So they asked me to be on. I did it. It was fun. So yeah, listen to that. Travis, do you have, is it time for picks of the week? Do we have more things?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to get to the pick. I'm still just pretty much exclusively watching Guy's Grocery Games. I mean, like 3-4 episodes a day. If I don't watch an episode of Guy's Grocery Games, I feel...
So
off.
So Guy's Grocery Games or Supermarket Sweep?
Guy's Grocery Games. Travis, it's amazing.
So you were you watching Supermarket Sweep on Netflix and it awoke something in you that you were
I don't think they don't cook on Supermarket Sweep. It's games that they play in a grocery in a fake grocery store,
right,
where they grab,
yeah,
fake food,
correct,
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
But Guy's Grocery Games,
they
is
have to
games
cook the food that they buy, right?
Making people cook. Like he says, "Hey, you got to make a burger, but here's the game. You have to use marshmallow fluff, and you can only shop in aisle 3, 4, and 10.
And you can only use the tiny cart.
And all you have is 30 minutes to do it. Shop, prepare, and plate, and then you get judged on that. I am obsessed with this thing, and I'm learning all sorts of things. I never heard a polenta before. I didn't know what a chimichurri was. I didn't know, like, all these different things.
Oh,
and
man,
it's actually inspired me. I've been cooking like nonstop.
Did you not
for
watch
the past
Food
like
Network?
3 weeks, and I'll tell you, it's a pain in the ass. And it's costing me a lot of money because I've like bought a food processor and I'm buying cooling racks and fucking digital thermometers and all this shit. So like I'm really kind of deep dive. Like I'm obsessed with cooking and watching this goddamn Guy's Grocery
Game.
Did
you turn into a Randy Marsh from the Cream Freesh episode?
I guess I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I didn't get that reference either.
So though, yeah, watch the South Park Cream Freesh episode. It's basically what you're doing right now.
It's just sour cream, isn't it?
That's creme fraiche. It's a little different.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much the same.
I mean, pretty much. I think it. I think creme fraiche will like thicken and shit up a little bit more. But yeah, so that's pretty much all I've been doing. But I guess that's not going to be my pick of the week. My pick of the week this week. This is what I've been kind of watching before I go to bed every night. It started with The Rock of Love. Daisy of Love is my pick of the week this week. I'm halfway through the only season of Daisy of Love. Daisy De La Hoya was a reject from season 2 of Rock of Love. The VH1 said, shit, we better give this broad her own show. So she got a house full of dim-witted dipshits in the mid-2000s who are competing for her quote-unquote love, and it is trash TV at its finest.
Trash, where
so
do you
Daisy
even
love.
Where do you find that?
Probably Hulu.
Hulu. Yeah. Hulu has all 3 seasons of Rock of Love, including the 3rd season, which is Rock of Love Bus.
The and bus, then Daisy, yeah.
Daisy of Love is also on Hulu.
Rochelle was when...
Now, Rock of Love, that was Bret Michaels, right?
Bret Michaels. And yeah. It's uncensored, too. The first season of Rock of Love is still censored, but they actually uncensored season 2 and 3 of Rock of Love and uncensored Daisy of Love.
Yeah, is there a bunch of titties really? And shit?
Yep. So there's boobs and F-bombs and fights and blood. Oh, it's
Rochelle amazing. Might want to revisit that.
I wonder if those gals got their boobs out knowing that it was going to be on VH1 and their boobs would be like
the quality of female on that show. I doubt had.
Right. I mean, these are people that are wanting to over 50 Bret Michaels.
Yeah. They're making out with him one after another. After they see them making out, they know this one broad just slept with Bret Michaels. Now they go on a date with him and make out without underwear on. So this is not, you know, high class people.
Travis, this is very judgy of you.
Well, I mean, you know,
this is their big shot, Travis.
Be comfortable with your sexuality, I guess. But I'm just saying that I doubt that those types of people have reservations about their
tatas
being seen right. by people.
So are macadamia nuts, are they salted?
See, I don't like macadamia nuts because...
Bland.
They're always in cookies, and I feel like it's white chocolate, and I don't do white chocolate, so...
Why do you not do white chocolate?
I don't like white chocolate.
Why not?
It's not as good as dark chocolate.
But what does that have to do with macadamia nuts?
What else is a macadamia nut with besides white chocolate?
Well, have you ever had one just by itself?
I've never even seen a macadamia nut except for... in a white chocolate cookie. Yeah.
Never even seen a solo macadamia nut.
I'm serious.
Drunk, do you have what you'd say?
Sure.
The pick of the week?
Drunk's pick of the week, WWE Clash of Champions. This upcoming Sunday, every belt will be on the line.
Who you got for the favorite there, Drunk? The big belt, the big one, the title belt.
Let's get some Drunk's picks.
Probably Roman Reigns.
Does he got a money line on that? You gonna bet on that?
I'm sure he can.
Can you bet on the woo-wee, Travis?
I think so,
Yeah, you can bet on anything.
I don't think you can in Illinois.
Maybe we could just make some gentleman's bets.
But you know,
you can't. You just have to use an offshore betting like our previous sponsor, MyBookie.
Well, you know, me and Mike here, we're just 15 minutes away from a sports book now. So,
over at the Alton Bell.
Well, it's the Argosy, but
there's a commercial that they play on the radio all the time, Travis, where he goes, and just remember. I'm the big dog, Roman Reigns. And I hate that commercial. He sounds
but isn't
like
he the big dog?
Dork.
He is the big dog.
Big dog, Roman Reigns.
And he turned heel, and now he's with Paul Heyman.
That guy now. You remember that commercial he did with his daughter where he like did I'm a Little Teacup while the mail lady looked in from the outside?
Yeah.
I always thought that was kind of voyeuristic and a little, you know, like the beginning of a really... dark and disturbing pornography.
Oh, like the male woman got a stirring in her womanlies?
Mm-hmm. So she knocked on the door pretending that she had to deliver a package, but then asked him to deliver a package. So he sent his daughter up to her room to play tea party by herself.
And like she opened her mail bag and his dick was in it?
Yeah. Dick in a mail bag. Yeah.
Special delivery. I'm the big dog, Roman Reigns. I hate that guy.
Think a guy like that's got a big hog.
Yeah. I don't know. Travis.
If he doesn't have a big hog, wouldn't that be just like... It's different if a guy like me has an average to lower average size hog. But if a guy like Roman Reigns, who's just a fucking jacked up, tall ass guy, has got a small wang.
The steroids makes it shrink, doesn't it?
See, but...
I think it's just balls, not dicks.
What you got to take into account, Travis, is not necessarily the size of the boat. But the motion of the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I get seasickness. I got to take Dramamine.
There's some advice for you.
Matt, you're a motion of the ocean guy, right?
Motion of the ocean.
You put some motion in your ocean. Matt went camping this week. Drunk.
I sure did.
Did you build a fire?
Yeah.
Did you make some s'mores?
No, fuck
s'mores. Yeah. Right on. The no s'mores bros.
How do you know about s'mores?
I love that you put that on the soundboard.
Fuck me, Zach Morris.
Fuck me, Zach Morris.
Matt, any great stories from your camping trip? Did you build a tent?
We didn't build a tent. We used a service.
I believe you pitch a tent, not tenter. Build a tent.
They build tents for you?
Yeah, basically the people around the country own property, and they have like a scenic area on their property, and then they sign up with Tenter. Tenter, I guess they buy the tent, and man, everything's kind of uniform, so all of their campsites are pretty much the same.
Did you share a tent, or did all four of you bros get your own?
No, we all shared a tent
together. All four.
You all slept in the same tent, Matt?
We did.
Yeah. What if you wanted to?
Was
run
it
one
like
off?
A nylon tent or a canvas tent?
It's a canvas tent, drunk.
What about my question?
We just rubbed one off together.
Cool. All right.
So, but there were bunk beds inside the tent. So
Tenter shows up before you guys and
No.
I guarantee
Tenter's like Airbnb for tenting people.
Right. You the tent stays there
all
the time.
If they got a bunk bed, it's the tent stay up.
Do they spray it for COVID before the next person comes in?
They assured us that they did, yes.
Very nice. Did you see a Sasquatch?
We did not see a Sasquatch, but
that's
it did
more
come
of like
with
a West Coast thing, ain't it?
What?
A Sasquatch?
That's back in the
70s. New Hampshire's pretty
everywhere.
Big with the Sasquatch.
Is it?
Oh,
Sasquatch
big
is everywhere
time.
Now.
Yeah.
So you and, show up at a campsite that's already a campsite?
Yeah, it's already a campsite. The fire pit, there's a picnic table.
Why is this such a hard concept for
you? Do they already have the twigs in there for you to light?
No. They gave us a free free bucket of wood. We did have to buy more wood to keep going for the whole weekend.
Did you have to go? You have to go forage for it.
Did you guys crush a bunch of natty ices?
We did not crush those, but we did crush plenty of other beers and bourbon. Lots of bourbon.
All right.
Campsite comes with a little campsite loo, and also a shower. Which is basically just a bucket that you pour water into, and you turn a handle, and the water pours out of the bucket onto you.
Oh, like What About Bob, where he's taking a shower outside of the.
It was cold. It was really cold at night. Got down to like 34 degrees.
Luckily, you guys were sharing a tent.
Some fashion? Was it like on a lakefront?
It was right on the river. It was right on the river, and the guy let us use four kayaks. So on one of the days, we went kayaking for a few hours.
I'm scared of kayaks. I feel like I'm going to flip over and drown.
Oh, love kayaking. Big fan of that. And Joe was a cowboy the whole weekend. So
yeah, I saw pictures of him dressed
so,
up.
So strippers and blow.
No strippers and no blood.
Drunk, it was just a buddy man trip.
Yeah, we hung out. We played a little can jam.
Strippers and blood.
Saturday night, we watched the Celtics game and the UFC fight by the fire, which was kind of cool.
TV out there?
We just had like a iPad.
Oh, sure.
And then we made a bunch of foods, some steak tips and burgers and breakfast. We had eggs and chorizo. It was a good trip. It was relaxing.
On Sunday, you made it home before football started? Or?
What's that?
On Sunday, you made it home before football started?
So, Travis, are you going to do it this year? I don't know what to tell the people, Travis. They keep asking.
What was Matt's pick of the week?
Camping with your buds.
Cool. That's awesome. How do you get buds?
I guess we would probably go camping if we all lived together. I would force you guys out on a camping trip.
I'd camp with you.
Travis, we should have a camping trip.
I'd take a flight to go tenting.
I mean, none of these guys would have done anything. Like, I was just like, hey, I asked them for weeks. I was like, hey guys, we should do something. How about we go on a camping trip? And they just ignored me. And then finally, you know, one of them kind of responded, and then I was able to rope them all into it.
Man,
and
nice. Are we you blast, the guy? But. You're the guy who's like, hey, we should do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more of the guy who says we should do things.
Do you wonder what would happen if you didn't say, hey, we should do things? Like, would they just never do anything?
Yeah, that we wouldn't do things.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Good for you, Matt.
No, I don't know that it's sad. I just don't know that the other guys are necessarily thinking about doing things.
But why not? Don't they like things?
It's
football kind of year.
I do love my recliner.
I mean, I will say that if I lived closer to them, like, if you know, the three of them live pretty close in proximity. You know, they go out to, like, dinner and stuff frequently enough. So I'd probably, you know, do that. But this was like, you know, hey, let's do a thing. Last year we went to a Warped Tour, which was a lot of fun. And, you know.
Drunk, I only went camping once in my whole life.
I went camping probably over 100 times.
Well, yeah, you're a weeblow.
I'm an Eagle Scout. Yes, sir.
Oh, I really recommend the tenter thing. Like, you can find some pretty good locations. They're not very expensive. I think ours was like $100 a night. I know that seems like a lot for camping, but
nah, that's very reasonable.
It's all there, you know, like all the shit that you need. You just kind of roll in with all your stuff, and then you roll out with all your stuff. So.
Guys, pick of the week, I guess, is Michael Ian Black's book, which I did actually read.
No, you didn't.
I did, Travis. I fucking read the goddamn thing. How else would I have known that he was a Ninja Turtle? He mentions it in the book.
I feel like you skimmed it.
I'm about halfway done, Travis. A better man, a mostly serious letter to my son. I am enjoying it because what I thought it was like a, you know, a how-to guide on how to be a dad. And I was like, well, I don't give a shit about this. I have a dog. But it's not. It asks a lot of questions about, like, what even being a man is. And it's interesting. It's worth checking out. It's not long. I'll finish it. So yeah, that's my pick of the week. And yeah, we did it.
We fucking did it.
Everybody got picks of the weekend? Everybody do one?
Yep.
I got one.
Did you do one, Travis?
Yeah, I did one. It was Daisy of Love, remember?
Right, Daisy of Love. Yeah, so we did it, guys. It was fun. I think we should probably do it again, Travis. But
yeah,
the people,
all right, let's do it next week.
Travis, the people, they keep asking, are you going to do it?
Guns out, funds out.
All I really want to do is make any friends with you. All I really want to do is maybe be friends with you. I ain't looking to come.
Travis.
Yeah, bud.
Next year when I plan my vacation, will you take me on a cheese vacation?
You want to eat cheese?
Yeah.
I can feed you cheese, dude.
I want you to take me places to eat cheese.
I'll just take you to the cheese factory down the road, and I'll eat. We'll just go through all the cheeses.
The finest cheeseries.
Like the only place you need to go.
All the finest cheeseries.
All the finest cheeseries.
You, all I really
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can also follow Matt at the Lotus Cast, Travis at Produce Travis, or Drunk at DrunkardSTL on the Twitters. You can email any of us, Mike, Travis, Matt, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. You can give us a call when we're live or when we're not. The number there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thanks again. Goodbye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well.